Okay, welcome back. Hour number two on this Friday. It's supposed to be triple digits here this weekend, and they can have it. I don't like heat like that. Not fun. Let's see if our better half is there, sitting by somewhere in the New England area where communists are happy and the invaders are going to be, apparently, placed in some of the citizens' homes. The law in the state of Massachusetts allows for, in fact, insists that people take in, on request, invaders, migrants, immigrants. So, yeah, good luck. How's that looking? Have you heard anything about that back there? Is it being covered in the local news?
Well, I don't tend to follow the mainstream news, but
no,
people are aware of it, and I you know, they're not happy about it. Of course, the first people to take these immigrants in should be the ones who wanted this to become a sanctuary state. You know, the governor with her mansion and, you know, all of these woke people that think that...
Whores.
Yeah.
Communist whores.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Liars, frauds, phonies, duplicitous, deceitful pieces of crap. And they feed off the hog the same way as anybody else.
I think,
really,
given the mentality in this state, that there will be people stepping up and offering their spare bedrooms or basements or something to these people.
Well, that's what liberals do. They learned their lesson in Germany and France. I remember, or Sweden. Was it Sweden? I think it was Sweden. One stupid liberal, pin-headed communist woman invited a Negro from Africa to move right into the house. The guy came from the jungle or something close to it. So she had a 13-year-old daughter. The guy, the black guy, first rapes the daughter and then rapes the mother. She got what she asked for. That is so stupid. If you don't understand that assimilation does not, will not, and never has worked on that kind of a basis, you really are dumb. Now, this is not an Ellis Island thing, a slow, measured immigration from Europe, which was welcomed by the country back, you know, 150 years, 140 years ago. This is random invaders being injected into the heart and soul of a fabulous culture that has been around, whichever European country you're talking about, Italy, Sweden, Germany, it doesn't matter. These people will never fit. So they're being brought in there to destroy, and that's what they're doing. So, yeah, I hope the people of Massachusetts who take any of these disease-carrying, walking bioweapons into their homes figure it out. Unfortunately,
and you will see diseases.
Good.
You will.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a household, it's assuming they're vaxxed, which most of them are, with very little immune reserve left, being exposed to whatever these people are carrying. And it will just be a different set of microbes. Sometimes that's all it has to be. You know, they're from different parts of the world. They have a different microbiome. And whatever disease pathogens they may be carrying, because we know that hygiene is not a priority with a lot of these people. It'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting.
Well, that's one way to do it. It's kind of like watching an automobile crash.
Yeah.
It's all going down. The socialism has never worked. Communism has been even a bigger failure, no matter how they try to package it. It doesn't work.
That's right.
I don't understand how people cannot grasp the whole issue that they are being so thoroughly brainwashed and programmed through the media. They just don't, I guess they don't want to go there. And we all of you listening out there, I will say this, you're all a cut above. You're enlightened, you're informed, you have wisdom, you've learned, you understand. You're willing to do the research. You're willing to entertain other viewpoints, or you wouldn't be out there listening. And you know that your rank and file in whatever country you're living in, the average person in that country is probably not too far away from the average American. They just don't understand. Not their fault. I'm not blaming them, because the media is so dominant. And when you become a what is it that you like to say? A proficient screen addict? Something like that. Anyway, it's bad. All right, let's jump into our wonderful kettle of soup and see what things are floating around in it. There's a guy named Mike O'Mara, O'Mara. Now, we've read some of his things in the past on the program. Give us a little brief intro about who this fellow is, and I'll read this first one here.
Mike O'Mara, last time I checked, was from Michigan, living in Michigan. He is vax injured and has developed sometime in the past year what appears to be ALS. It's some sort of muscle-wasting neurodegenerative condition that so far has been unresponsive to any sorts of treatments.
Right. I'll ask Lou Gehrig. It's known as Lou Gehrig's disease also.
Right. And apparently it doesn't quite fit the definition of what ALS is known to be. But it has all of the characteristics, the muscle fasciculations, the weakness, the muscle wasting. And he has spent the last year, if not more, trying to accurately diagnose it so that he could hopefully be treated for it, or, as he has continued to say, have assisted suicide. And being a victim in this situation, he has been targeted and, I would say, exploited by, probably, the medical establishment to some degree, because they don't really have any answers.
They have tests, lots and lots
of tests that really don't clarify what's going on or point them in the right direction of treatment. And maybe he has received some treatments, but nothing seems to work. And that has not kept the vultures in the natural or dietary supplement arena from targeting him.
He has some very, very cogent views on this, which I'll read in a moment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I these people, in some cases, I they're so desperate for, relief to their pain, some kind of a remedy, a cure, something that will help them overcome their really miserable condition. And they're easy prey for a lot of these hucksters out there. And Mike has had it with some.
He's done with the games, and he doesn't mince any words.
I think he speaks for a lot of these people that are in this situation that have just been preyed upon.
I've seen so many things by the
hucksters and the grifters. So few people understand the complexity of what has happened to these people, because it is something that's affecting them on a DNA level, on the genetic level.
We include doctors in that statement too. Yes,
that's right. The conventional allopathic doctor really does not have the tools, has not been trained in really how to deal with this.
No.
I think a lot of them are trying, but they've also had their hands tied, I would say, in so far as what they can admit to why the people are having these problems. They've been explicitly told not to connect it to the vaccine, the injection. So that limits what they can, I guess, surmise and then offer for treatment. I will say that there are people that are having some success with integrative or functional medicine doctors, holistic healers, energy healers, believe it or not. You've got to do your homework and really get a sense of what resonates with you, how you want to pursue a healing strategy. And know that you've got a target on your back. There are people that are ready and willing to really just suck you dry in terms of whatever resources you have.
All right, let me read this. I just, and by the way, just a parenthetical statement about the supplements business. Look, a lot of these supplements are fine. They're not going to hurt you at all. They'll help you. But there is no cure in a capsule or a bottle for what these injections do to people. All you can hope for is some moderate symptomology mitigation. If you can get that, you're way ahead of the game. All right?
Yep.
But these people, some of these people are merciless and evil.
They are.
Preying upon the people who have been, their lives have been shattered, destroyed. They may be in myocarditis pain all the time. They may have cancer. They're still walking around. They kind of look normal out and about, but they are not well, and they're getting worse. All right, here's what Mike says in one of his posts. He says, I am sick of these mild and moderately injured people grifting on the backs of the bereaved and severely injured victims. Their continual pushing of supplements and protocols that do absolutely nothing for the severely injured is taking time and resources away from keeping the focus on immediate emergency research and serious trialed treatments that might hold any hope for the severely damaged. Now, he's speaking about himself here. He's severely damaged. Their grandstanding and constant self-congratulations regarding their multi-level marketing companies, oh, bravo to that, and social media attention-grabbing via pictures of them partying is directly influencing the rest of the public, who take every opportunity to say, we aren't serious and don't have anything wrong with us. The enemies of all of us are winning because the movement to try to save those injured and protect those not yet poisoned is being co-opted by those unable or unwilling to admit that for many of us there is nothing that works and we are running out of time. The severely injured have no more energy and no ability to go to parties, to get on stages with political figures. We don't look good in our bathing suits anymore. For social media, we are lost, abandoned, suffering, and dying. Someone needs to step up for us now.
Yeah, bravo.
Doesn't play games. Here's a little tag on that. We only have two up here, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, he adds on to this. Once again, for the severely neuromuscular injured by the death shots, here it is. Natto doesn't work. Ivermectin doesn't work. Fasting doesn't work. Supplements don't work. Your protocols don't work. Special waters, wands, patches, and foods don't work. We are dying of post-ALS or mimicking diseases. Post-vaccine ALS or mimicking diseases. Help us. Send this to all the alternative docs and healers. There are tons of us with this version of severe injury, post-vaccine disease. Stop throwing parties and using us as props. Help. So, you know, there are some qualifications to the statements he made. He's trying to be blunt to get people's attention, I guess. But some supplements can help, no question about that. Ivermectin can help with the virus. We know that. Does it help with the injections? I don't think so. I don't know. But it's
well, again, everybody, they want an easy, quick fix. A no-hassle protocol.
A cure in the
bottle. When you're dealing with this level of damage, it becomes very complex. I mean, not everybody was affected the same way. Not everybody had the same issues going into the vax. You know, people have different levels of, you know, their in infectious burden, whatever they're carrying for viruses, latent viruses or whatever. They have different levels of toxins in their body. They have different ability to deal with these toxins. different genetics. It gets very, very complicated, and there's not going to be a quick fix. What works for somebody may be disastrous for somebody else. So it really is a case that you've got to be personally evaluated as an individual and look at your profile, and that's when you can begin to unravel what's been done, maybe.
Maybe is exactly right. Difficult, terrible times for even the unvaxxed, because they're having to deal with the vaxxed. And I still think that, honestly, people by nature inherently are not the type to really broadcast their ailments to, you know, rank and file casual acquaintances. They'll keep it quiet. Who wants to say, I've got turbo cancer of the kidney, lung, breast, whatever? They don't say it.
Well, there's that shame. Because
oh, yeah.
I think people don't want to admit or suggest that they were damaged or had a bad reaction to the vaccine. This was, you know, the vaccine that's going to bring us back to normal.
No. Okay. Dr. Chris Shoemaker has made a second appearance on the Jim Ferguson podcast, or whatever it is, and he's a very good spokesperson. He's articulate. He doesn't mess around. He gets straight to the point. We did play something from Dr. Shoemaker a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago, yep.
Yeah.
He was giving a testimony at the that Canadian tribunal that they had back in, I think it started in March or April. I thought it was more recent. It didn't get a lot of coverage, unfortunately, even though it was spectacular. The testimonies were really stellar.
What's our time stamp on this? I got 11:30.
About 11:35. Yep.
Yeah. All right. 11:32. Okay. All right. This is Dr. Chris Shoemaker on the Jim Ferguson program, just apparently a day or two ago.
Jim, and yes, believe it to you. Thank you.
Yes, please, because it led into it very nicely, actually. So please, this is a shocking thing to hear, that there is DNA in the vaccines. Please, doctor, tell us what that means and how that's happened.
Well, it is there. And the reason that on an original interview with the RAIR Corporation in the United States, I did a very significant interview, which lasted 15 minutes, but there's now an 8-minute version that people can see on Twitter. And in it, I make very clear that Dr. Kevin McKernan, a very senior, adept DNA scientist, he knows how to do the measurements. He did the measurements. He got a number of vials of both Pfizer and Moderna, huge numbers of vials. And when he tested it, literally 33% of the weight of the ribonucleic acid was not messenger RNA. 33% was deoxyribonucleic acid or DNA. So he knows the difference. The machines that he uses know the difference. There's no falsifying this one way or the other. It either is or it isn't. And he has the absolute complete proof that when properly analyzed, the average percentage of DNA in every shot was 33%, and the remaining 67% was the RNA. The RNA was declared on the label, but he's telling all of us, Dr. McKernan, Dr. Paul Alexander, Dr. Sasha Latapova, Dr. Jessica Rose, and now today, Dr. Chris Shoemaker, are all stating that the proof on the machines that measure whether it's DNA or whether it's RNA is irrefutable. And it's 33% DNA and 67% RNA. That's what's in the shots.
Funniest thing that Big Al Borla didn't tell us about any of this. And I'm not holding my breath to see any congressional action taken about this fraud and lie that has just been exposed right here by Dr. Shoemaker from Dr. McKernan's work. This is really horrible. We still don't know what's in these damn things. We've got a fairly good working handle of a general understanding of it, but there are things in there that we still don't understand, like the protein that Erica found in her reading that is basically nameless. It's in there. We don't know what it does.
Yeah, there are some sequences of nucleotides with it. We don't know What are they coding for?
We don't know. All right, here we go.
Doctor, when people listen to this, they're going to say, DNA, what does that mean to them? And why is this so significant?
Okay, well, DNA is our blueprint of what to make and how we survive each day and how we are ourselves as human physical beings. And DNA is only in what's called the nucleus of a cell, the very center of the cell. The cells can look kind of big if you do a drawing of it, but in the middle there's this tiny little dot, and it's the nucleus. And it's only in the nucleus that DNA is supposed to stay and do its thing. It communicates with the outside world by making some messenger RNA transcribed from it and sending it out into the cytoplasm or the wider or the larger component of the cell. And that's where the mRNA then normally makes proteins for you, proteins, useful proteins based on your genetic code. Your genetic code makes useful proteins for you to remain you.
Useful proteins, not synthetic killer proteins like the spike. Very good differentiation there.
These shots, because they put in both the DNA version of the genetic code made by humans in the Wuhan lab and other places, it's the DNA as well as the RNA goes into the product. So it comes into your bloodstream and it goes throughout your body. Within probably 6 minutes, it's entering various cells in your body, brain cells, aorta cells, kidney cells, spleen cells, liver cells, heart cells. Never stayed in your shoulder for a short time as predicted. That was a complete lie. It went everywhere in rapid fashion. And therefore, because it's arrived in your heart cells in both forms, messenger RNA, that alone is terrible. That alone allows the cells to send a signal. We're not as normal as we thought we were going to be. We've got this strange alien RNA product and strange proteins. You might want to come and attack us because we're not normal anymore. But now, imagine in your minds, because it's true in reality, in truth in reality, inside plasmids, which are carriers, DNA can be carried not just into the cell itself, but literally into the nucleus. Because it's in a plasmid, and remember that word, everybody, plasmid. Plasmids are what carry DNA physically into the center of your cell. And DNA in huge numbers, 13 trillion DNA in every shot, 27 trillion mRNAs in every shot. The total is 40 trillion in every shot. And we've been bamboozled. We've been harmed. People used to be worried about small amounts of genetic change in the oats that make their Cheerios, and to eat a genetically modified set of oats or whatever was going to upset people terribly. How dangerous that could be. Well, you're not getting a genetically modified cereal. You're getting actual gene codes to make the most toxic protein ever created on Earth. And you got those gene codes put into you in the long form as well as the short form. The mRNA would only last in your body for 8 to 12 months at most, but it would be gone within a year. It's certainly not going in a few days, but it would be gone within a year if it was mRNA only. But because the DNA version of this code has gone into us, that can does and does go into the nucleus. And as a result, you can pump out new messenger RNAs for a decade. Thank you very much, Pfizer and Moderna.
Okay, this goes back to what we talked about when we began speaking and addressing the issue of these DNA plasmids. They literally recreate, they're able to recreate the RNA, modified RNA, instructions. So your body will have plenty of instructions for at least, according to Dr. Shoemaker, 10 years, we'll round it off, to continue going into your cells and ordering your cells to become spike protein, exclusively spike protein production factories. What do you think your long-term chances are of living a normal lifespan? No, those days are over now. The question is, how much of your life has been cut off? How much of your life has been cut short by these shots? And then we'll step a little further. And even if you didn't take the shots, but you hang around the vaxxed, who are, as you all know, probably better than any other audience in any medium, the people who have been injected are spreading the mirth and merriment to the unvaxxed nonstop. So we have now people who have not been vaxxed who are literally dying from the same results as if they had been vaxxed.
Yeah, they are, and so are their pets. I mean, it started first with the pets, I would say. But there's no question that it's also happening, has happened, in people.
Very sad. Very true. And I don't know, is that about where we want to go with Dr. Shoemaker here?
Yeah, we could migrate over to that. Or we could, William Mackis, Dr. William Mackis, another Canadian doctor, put out an interesting tweet, Substack, today or yesterday, about turbo cancers.
Before you jump into that, Dr. Shoemaker mentioned something about within 6 or 9 minutes of injection. There's a really a shameful story here about Wikipedia, which is a sewer of character assassination and defamation, and you should not patronize Wikipedia at all. In the spring of 2021, Brandon Goodwin, played at that time for the Atlanta Hawks, developed severe fatigue and back pain, which would force him to miss that year's NBA playoffs. Several months later, in September, Goodwin revealed in a stream, a Twitch stream, that he had been diagnosed with blood clots and that his problems began in the immediate aftermath of being vaxxed against COVID-19, a synthetic vax, which is a bioweapon, against a synthetic virus, which is also a bioweapon. He says, "I was fine until I took the vaccine. I was fine. Yes. The vaccine ended my season 1,000%. He says he felt the difference in a matter of minutes after the injection. And I believe that.
Yeah.
People are very sensitive to their bodies, especially athletes, I would think, if they take care of themselves. Yeah. And then they went to the trouble of completely expunging all mention of any of this from his Wiki profile.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I see changes
all
the time. Yeah.
Yeah, they edited it right out. Just like they did to me for years and years and put filth in there. They'd go in there and filth. You can't. Nothing about me on Wikipedia is some of it's true. There's a lot of crap in there. Lots of crap. So anyway, just a little thing about the idea of feeling different in a matter of minutes after these shots. It happens. Not to mention the fact that those who are being shed upon feel the difference instantaneously. That's how toxic this stuff is.
I know.
Whatever the parameters, whatever the reasons for there's the unvaxxed, the uninjected being so sensitive to this, kind of don't matter because they are reacting to it, and they know. And they'll tell you.
Not everybody. There are people that are not reacting, but I think it's true. I would still be cautious.
You've got to be cautious. You've got to wear a mask when you're out. Don't look at it as a political issue. Don't say, "Oh, I've got a right not to do that." You don't have to wear it, but we highly recommend that you do. When you are around random people in a social setting, going to the store, going wherever, wear a mask. Even if it only gives you a 10% advantage, it's well worth it. Take it. Get a good mask.
Yeah, especially nowadays. Yeah, I mean, this tuberculosis is increasing. You don't know what else is out there right now.
No.
As I said, you're either breathing your own exhalations or you're breathing somebody else's. So.
Exactly. All right, here's Dr. Mackis. Let me read this part here.
Just for information, he is a oncologist in Canada, radiologist oncologist, and he is now. I think he was one of these physicians that was given an ultimatum, so he left his job and is now associated with the wellness company in Canada.
Right. Very good. All right. Here's a short little thing. Then we'll comment on this. What's his first name? William,
yeah.
Okay. Families, the title of this is, it's a post, families that inject mRNA together develop turbo cancers together. 12 unbelievable stories, writes Dr. Makis, of two or three COVID-19 vaccinated family members developing aggressive turbo cancer at the same time. It's happening. Turbo cancers are skyrocketing, and some families will have two, even three members develop aggressive turbo cancers at the stage 4 level. They start off with stage 4. When multiple family members come down with a cancer and a COVID-19 vaccine-induced turbo cancer is suspected, always look for the presence of at least one of these: leukemia, lymphoma, brain cancer, or breast cancer. Presumably, if multiple family members want to get their COVID-19 vaccine at the same time, they may have received a bad batch or a hot batch. A toxic pharmaceutical product with poor quality control that may have had too much mRNA or may have been contaminated with DNA plasmids containing the carcinogenic SV40 promoter. That's not the SV40 virus. It's the promoter. The immune system damage and organ damage that those family members might then experience from a bad vaccine batch or a hot lot may be similar and may give rise to turbo cancers in multiple family members. All right. There's more to this. Go ahead.
A couple comments. He has documented 12 different cases where this has occurred.
12,
And, you know, with photos, so beware. The comments are interesting to read. One person says, I'm a hairstylist, and I have 4 clients right now who are late 40s. All have some rare sarcoma or breast cancer, 2 of them with mothers at the same time. I also have many women coming in now wearing heart monitors. Brain fog and Hashimoto's is another one people have more of. Scary.
See, ma'am, may I say something? These people are still going out and about and going to the hair salon like they always have, but they're very sick and they're shedding. You need to keep this in mind. You've got to understand that it's not a, you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't hear it, but it's happening. I'm just thinking about that. And if your hairstylist is shedding and you're not vaxxed, for example, that hairstylist is bathing you in things you want nothing to do with. Go ahead.
Another person says, I have 5 family members with cancer. Every one of them occurred after their vax. All of them were encouraged to get the booster from their oncologist. 2 are dead so far. Let's see, what else? This is shocking. My stepdad was in remission from throat cancer when the vaccine came out. He was clean for a year. He got the vaccine. Then his throat cancer returned and stomach cancer at the same time that eventually ended his life.
These are just astonishing stories. They're horrible.
I know, it's stunning.
Stories. Yeah.
2 brain cancers in my network, dead very quickly. The one that struck me even more, though, because he's young, 35 to 40 years old, was bone cancer in the hip that killed him quickly. My best friend developed lung cancer early 2022 after taking 2 doses, was in remission for 6 months after radiation and chemo. 2 months ago, it came back, and it spread to his brain and spinal cord. He died yesterday from edema. I'm so angry and brokenhearted right now. And one more. Never had so many friends in their 40s and 50s who have been diagnosed with cancer in the last year. Just attended a wake for a friend who had a stroke a few days ago today.
See, you dear people out there know people like this. This is going to resonate with a lot of you. You know people who are sick from these shots or from the virus. It's happening everywhere. Everywhere.
Yep.
I had a friend who lives in the Philippines tell me that, actually sent me pictures, they're building cemeteries there constantly to bury the dead.
I don't doubt it.
No. It's just everywhere. Okay. Shedding and spike protein and other proteins. What do we want to do with this now?
Well, I want to, people are still perplexed as to what is coming off the vaxxed. And no, we don't have a definitive answer. But if we assume that it's the spike protein, I mean, all the evidence and research to date suggests that that is what's coming off them. There may be other things, VOCs, and maybe other proteins, and microRNAs, which can interfere with your microRNAs. That can all be in the mix. But let's talk about a protein. And again, as I said the other night, people seem to not appreciate that a protein can be deadly. And I use the example of ricin, but there's other proteins that exist in nature that if you get enough of it, it causes, well, one of the effects can be, protein dysfunction disrupts the production of protein so that your cells are incapable of producing the proteins that they naturally make in order to survive. That's one way a protein can kill. There's other ways, but just to give you an example of how little a protein is needed to create an effect, let's go back to the example of a cat allergy. Now, when people develop an allergy to a cat, many times they'll get hives or itching or congestion. And if the allergy is bad enough, all you have to do is walk into a house where there's been a cat or where a cat lives. You don't even have to see the cat, and you can start reacting to it. If you come into contact with fabric or clothing that has been in a house where there's a cat, you could react to that. The same holds true for this spike protein. Once you have developed a sensitivity to it, and as I said, this protein is designed to do that. It's designed to trigger your immune system. And for many people, what gast triggered is these mast cells. So you don't necessarily even have to come into contact with the protein once you've been sensitized to it. You can just be in a space where this protein has been aerosolized. So with the cat produces it. There's 10 antigens or proteins that come off of a cat that they've identified that are potentially allergenic to people. And by allergenic, it means it provokes their immune system. And the protein is excreted in the cat's saliva and sebaceous right. glands, their fat glands, right. and their skin. And the cat licks its fur, and at some point that dries, and the protein becomes aerosolized. And that is what is in the airspace in that area where the cat has been, or on the person's clothes or fabric or furniture. The spike protein is quite similar. God, I just read this story. It was horrific. I think I read it to you, Jeff, that somebody bought a bag of clothes from, evidently it was a person who had been vaxxed. Yeah. And they were sickened for at least a month. It might have been 2 months, 60 days.
Yeah.
Just from coming into contact with clothing that had been worn by a vaxxed person. This protein is that irritating and triggering for, at the very least, mast cells, but there are other components of your immune system that are reacting to this as well. But once that happens, you can be very, very sick.
The invasive aspect of the spike protein is it's really extraordinary. That person, I wish we had that actual little post.
I have it somewhere. We'll read it at some point.
All right. Yeah.
But
if you pick up a jacket for someone, and or a shirt, somebody gives you a shirt, and you're not vaxxed, you better do some serious washing with bleach and everything else.
Yeah, That's a given. I mean, people don't know what their threshold to this protein is going to be. Not everybody is reacting this severely, but it's designed to do that. So it may be an issue of just hitting that threshold, getting the right amount of it over a period of time, or getting a big dose of it all at once. And then your mast cells get activated, and the mast cells interact directly with your limbic system, your nervous system. So this pathway of reactivity gets established, and it's very hard to break that once you reach that point. It's almost, in some cases, you need limbic system retraining to calm your nervous system down so you don't continue to react that way. And, you know, I know people now who have reached that point where they literally cannot leave the house because they're going to be exposed to spike, because there's so many people out there that are shedding this stuff now and leaving it behind wherever they've been. You basically become a prisoner, you know, like the boy in the plastic bubble.
Right. I hate to say it, but if you go out amongst them and they're shedding, it's going to get on your clothes. It'll be in your
yes,
hair.
Yes, it will. Yes.
It sticks. It's sticky.
Yes.
All right. So
yes.
You know,
people think, what do I use to kill it? Well, you can't mm-hmm. kill it. It's not something that's alive. It's a protein. Mm-hmm. And presumably you could disinfect it to some degree, but don't forget, there are amyloidogenic sequences in it that don't get degraded by, well, at the very least, UV light. It remains to be seen if other things could degrade it, maybe bleach or hypochlorous acid. But I wouldn't make any assumptions about that. And this it's a noxious protein.
It's a terrible, deadly, noxious protein. Okay, very good. Anything to add? We got a couple more readers here we should try and duck in, too.
Yeah, let's do the readers, because these are important, too. It really drives the point home about taking this threat seriously.
You must. All right, which one do we start with here?
The ones from Monday. Do we have those?
It'd be the 9th?
Yep.
No.
No, the 7th.
I don't have the 7th.
Well, maybe it's the 9th. Could be the 9th.
All right. Bloating from shedding? Shedding from transfusion?
No.
All right.
Death from shedding? Do we have that one?
No. He didn't include the 7th in here, or the 9th. It would have been the 9th. Bloating from shedding? Shedding from transfusion? Yes, here it is. Unvaxxed death due to shedding. Got it.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yep.
All right. Okay. A close friend of my sister-in-law who was unvaccinated, age 44, died yesterday in her sleep. She had been having sex with a man who was vaccinated. She had the telltale bruising on her thighs and arms. Very sad. I know multiple women who have been having freak illnesses, and even needing to go to the emergency room after having been with a vaxxed man. It's real. End of post. As we say, sex can kill.
Yeah.
And is.
Yeah.
And is.
And that bleeding, again, is an indication that, well, I mean, you don't forget, your immune system is causing a lot of these symptoms. Mm-hmm. The spike does have direct effects on your physiology, there's no question. It can attach to many different types of receptors, ACE2 being the main one. But it goes throughout the body, and wherever it lands, it's going to do damage. It's going to inflame those tissues. And with the women, the spike seems to accumulate in the uterus, provoking the mast cells there, and that is what is causing this horrendous bleeding. Mast cell activation of that uterine cavity. And it is associated with cancer. So if that persists for any length of time, you are setting the stage for cancer, and we have seen that.
Right.
You know,
right.
Made worse is, I think women are disproportionately affected in this way because estrogen is known to trigger mast cells. So there tends to be, with women, possibly a cyclical cycle with this, where symptoms get worse just prior to menstruation, when estrogen is highest, and then subside once that's over. But there's no question that the women really are getting the lion's share of the symptoms from this stuff. But it doesn't mean that, you know, men have a pass. They're being affected too. It may not be as obvious.
Totally. All right, here's another one. I lost my brother due to shedding. I only have my mother. The rest of the family has been vaxxed and extremely uncomfortable to be around. So aggressive and hateful. We have no one else. I found this channel because someone was so kind to share the link in the channel. That's how I know I'm not crazy and that people do smell and have become angry. Well, there's that psychological aspect again. People are changing. Mm. And it's almost invariably described as hostile, people having strange animosities show up, confrontations, bitterness, you name it. It's not a humor-oriented response that people are showing up with. It's very combative in most cases. All right, go ahead, number three.
Okay, here's another one. I lost a family member to the jab, and I lost another to shedding. I'm hearing about more people dying from shedding. I think the shedding can be a slow kill, too. If we take care of ourselves, we can heal. When my neighbors go away, I begin to feel normal again. And that's just it. You've got to get away from it.
Right. Self-isolation, a lot of people can't do that. We understand that. But if you do have that option, it's a pretty wise path to follow. Okay, go ahead.
Let's see. I had a chiropractor friend in Fort Lauderdale who was seeing 35 to 40 patients daily. He was not vaxxed and extremely healthy. Suddenly, when treating a patient, he had a heart attack and lost consciousness on the way to the hospital and never woke up. He was 57 and the most healthy person I know. Gym, supplements, organic foods. The only assumption we can make is that he was shed upon, as all his patients were vaxxed.
Here's another one. My brother was surrounded with vaxxed people at work and at home. He was 45. He dropped to the floor and never woke up. He was a very healthy person. His food was from the organic farmer, and he never used medication. He run. I don't know what this is. He ran his rounds every day, every 2 days. My life ended on 12 December 2021, when his brother died. So there, this is the point here. The unvaxxed are dying. We're getting more and more reports of this. So it's not a nuisance issue. It's a life and death issue. And they knew when they built this horror, they knew about shedding. They knew how to try to pick up those refusers through normal life and social commercial transit. They knew shedding would do the job. And that's what
they're getting. There's no question. There's no question. And they continue to try to deny it. You won't see this covered in most of the alt news.
Never.
They want you looking at, you know, nanobots and whatever.
Oh, hydrogels?
I've lost track.
Self-assembling lattice scaffolding.
That's right.
All nanotech, of course. Here, look, here's a picture of it. Lots of pictures from my light microscope of nanotechnology. Yeah, right. Oh, and don't forget those little dots either. Man, it's never ending. Never ending. Whenever you hear the word quantum, be careful. So we've got quantum dots now. You can't see them according to the definition of what they are because they're nano. They're down in the nano scale. And yet we're being told that we can see them blinking and changing colors and self-assembling and building this and building that. And, oh, my God, it's really grim out there. It's very difficult. Just be careful and do share these programs. Hopefully you'll learn from them. We're not ever here to tell anyone how to think. We're just asking you to engage in the process. You decide. It's your life. All right. Thanks, my friend.
Okay. Good job, Jeff. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
We will be right back. I'm going to Malaysia next, I think. Yes. Back in a minute. Hold on.